We go out to our NBA insider from SheridanHoops.com, Chris Sheridan, everybody. Morning, Chris.
Morning, Armando. Good morning, Chris. How are you guys?
Good, man. Good. Hey, Chris, let's get right down to the action here. Heat Bulls tonight. What do you think of each team? You know, they've both got some injury concerns. Derrick Rose, Rip Hamilton, Dwayne Wade. And is this a preview of the Eastern Conference Finals?
Well, it should be a preview of the Eastern Conference Finals. It form holds. I mean, these guys have been both the class of the conference, and I fully expect a rematch of what we had last year. And I expect a closer series than what we had last year when the Heat took care of them in five games. To your first point, a couple of interesting things. Derrick Rose's injury just lingers and lingers and lingers, and he made it back for one game, and then he sat out the next one, although I fully expect him to play tonight in the big one. And then on the other side of the equation is the Miami Heat's a pretty damn good team when Dwayne Wade sits on the sideline, aren't they?
Good record.
It's a good record, and yep. It goes to show how dominant of a player LeBron James can be when he's playing the way that he played in Cleveland, where the ball's in his hands and he's dictating the offense and he's not deferring whether he needs to or not. When Dwayne's not out there, everybody knows who the ball's going through, and LeBron in those games has certainly looked like the MVP of the league. I guess it still remains to be seen, and it's a question we're not going to have answered until May and June. Can these guys win a championship with those two guys playing alongside each other? And again, in the close games, who's going to have the ball in their hands? It's a theme we've hit on all over the season, all throughout the season, fellas. But I think it's still an open question, and it's one we're not going to have answered until we're a month or two down the road.
You're listening to Chris Sheridan in the Napleton Hyundai Inside the Heat Beat. If you want to talk to Chris, the number to reach out is 888-640-9385. Jeff, you're on with Chris Sheridan.
Hey, Chris, since Dwayne Wade is down here, Ray Allen's up there, I think it's the epitome of stupidity and pompous for him to want to be paid for the Olympics. In fact, we should just go right back to amateurs. We don't need to win the Olympics. What do you think about this?
I really couldn't disagree more, because I've covered every Olympic team since '96, and I've seen the U.S. team go from its height to the third place finish they had in Athens, and then rebuild the program behind Jerry Colangelo and go into Beijing and win the Olympic gold medal, and then 2 years later go into Turkey and win the world championship. And let me tell you something: that Beijing gold medal game, I think the final score of that game was 115-106. Which is an incredibly high score for a 40-minute FIBA game. You're talking about 225 points in a game where the players aren't even allowed to call timeout and field the ball. And these guys playing for Team USA, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James especially, this is going to be their third Olympics. And it's very, very rare for any basketball player to play in three Olympics, but they're both going to be doing it this summer. And they're going to be playing Spain in the gold medal game. And let me tell you something. Spain's better than Spain was in Beijing. Even though they don't have Ricky Rubio, let me tell you something. They don't need Ricky Rubio. I covered the European qualifier in Lithuania last September, and Ricky Rubio was horrible. He was so horrible, he only played 7 minutes in the gold medal game. So they're not really going to miss him. They're going to have Calderon, and they're going to have Juan Carlos Navarro, who's the best player in Europe, running their guard spots for them. And then the other big change with Spain, not only is Marc Gasol a lot better player than he was in Beijing, and Marc and Pau are both on the team, but Serge Ibaka has a Spanish passport, and he's going to be starting on the front line for Spain as well. And he gives them a little more defense and a lot more athleticism than they've had before. So, look, most of the Olympics aren't going to be that interesting, but the gold medal game certainly is. And what would be the point of sending amateurs back? I mean, you can watch the Pan Am games if you want to watch amateurs play, but the Olympics are for the best players in any sport, no matter what that sport may be. So, and here's the other thing about getting paid for the Olympics. The players do get paid for the Olympics. USA Basketball pays them, and traditionally, ever since the Dream Team, all that money has been donated to charity. So if somebody wants to play in the Olympics and keep that money, that's their choice. But the tradition among Team USA members is to give that money away.
But do other team members from other countries get paid, Chris?
Do they get paid? Here's a story for you. I told you about I covered the 2010 World Championships in Turkey, and that was when the B-Team team that was led by Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and Rose was on that team, although he sat behind Westbrook when it got into the nitty-gritty. They played Turkey, the home team, for the gold medal, and some of the Turkish team supporters made a promise to the players on the team, and that includes Hito Turkoglu and Ersan Ilyasova and Semih Erdan and Omar Asik. These guys are all NBA players right now. If you make it to the gold medal game, everybody gets a seaside villa, and the benefactor, one of the richest guys in Turkey, came through on that promise, and every single member of that silver medal winning team from Turkey now has a piece of beachfront property. Players get paid, and players from other countries get paid more than the Americans do in some ways. So there's all sorts of incentives, and the FIBA game is so different from the NBA game. Like I said, the games are only 40 minutes, but they have a flow to them where these games are done in under 2 hours, and the timeouts are 60 seconds, and that's it, bang. It's not 2.5 minutes or 3.5 minutes like you get in the NBA playoffs. And like I said, the players can't call timeouts. Only the coaches can call timeouts, and they only come on a dead ball. When those timeouts come, man, they put 60 seconds on the clock, and the guys barely have a chance to sit down for 30 seconds to catch their breath before they got to get up and get the ball back into play. So when the Olympics roll around, pay attention to those games, because FIBA basketball is played at a different pace than the NBA, and it's played in a lot of different ways than in the NBA ball, but it's equally, if not more, entertaining, especially when you have two powerhouse teams like the United States and Spain playing each other. And it should be noted they're going to play an exhibition game in Barcelona prior to the Olympics, and it'll be a good watch.
Hey, we're talking to Chris Sheridan of SheridanHoops.com here on Armando and Perk on the Inside the Heat segment, sponsored by Napleton Hyundai. Chris, let's look at this at the Heat as a whole. I had the story on your website that the Heat had a team meeting after the last Celtics game on April Fool's Day. They wanted to get back to that dark place. Obviously, they're not back in that dark place, and that's what they call the feeling after the Game 6 loss in the finals to Dallas. Is the Heat in trouble regarding winning the championship? Are they in trouble, do you think?
No, I think trouble's too strong of a word, Chris. And I did enjoy your column, and that dark place somehow repeated itself against the Boston Celtics. Watching that game, it was like watching Kevin Garnett from 7, 8, 10 years ago, the way he was hitting outside jumpers, and it was mind-boggling to me that Miami couldn't get a guy on him. So I think depending on the matchup, that's going to influence your level of concern. And if Boston can somehow catch the Pacers, then it's going to be a different story. But right now we're looking at Boston being a four, and they wouldn't have to play the Heat unless the Heat can somehow get past Chicago. Let's take a step back from that even and look at the first round. Whoever wins the East is going to get probably the Sixers or the Bucks as their first-round opponent, and that's just going to be a walkover with the way the Sixers are playing. The other team's got to play the Knicks, and it's a Knicks team that's really playing a different brand of basketball under Mike Woodson, playing defense and getting a lot of scoring out of Carmelo Anthony and efficient scoring out of Carmelo Anthony. 3 weeks ago, Carmelo Anthony's scoring and shooting percentage numbers were the worst of his career, but ever since Jeremy Lin went down and they've put the ball back more into his hands and made him more of a point forward, the Knicks are playing an entirely different brand of basketball. They had a big win last night, came back from 8 points down in the fourth quarter, beat Milwaukee and tied the season series 2-2. So if the Knicks can rise to the seventh spot, and they're only a game behind the Sixers, it looks like they're going to play Miami in the first round. And as a basketball fan, man, that's what I'm rooting for, because I've covered a lot of Heat-Knicks playoff series in the past, back in the 90s, and those series were wars. And Miami usually got the short end of the stick, whether it was Bennett Salvatore's phantom timeout that he granted to Latrell Sprewell, or a couple other most unlikely of events in Game 7s down in either the old Miami Arena or in the new arena. the Heat and the Knicks have had a great playoff history that I would love to see renewed. So as a fan, I want to see the Knicks and the Heat play because I think it'll be compelling and I think it'll be competitive. Whoever plays Philadelphia, I don't even want to watch those games because Philadelphia's been on such a tailspin. I fully expect them to get swept, and I think they're going to be the worst team in the entire playoffs. So that's something that's in the mix tonight when Miami and Chicago play. If the Heat can win that game tonight, they're only one behind the Bulls in the loss column, and they're a little bit closer to getting that number one seed that right now seems a little bit out of their reach.
He's Chris Sheridan, SheridanHoops.com, and he's with us every Wednesday inside the Heat Beat, the Napleton Hyundai inside the Heat Beat. Thank you, Chris.
Okay, thanks, Armando. Thanks, Chris.
All right, Chris.